And now, from the legendary 77 WABC radio studios in the center of the universe, New York City, high atop 2 Penn Plaza, blocking Madison Square Garden and threatening to one day crush Penn Station under the weight of its awesomeness, it's the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour, starring Rob Bartlett. And now, here's your host, Rob Bartlett.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour. I am Rob Bartlett, and this is my comedy hour. Thank you to Andy Smithy, by the way, for that exciting introduction. Community service. We're hiring people who wouldn't normally get work. I'm in a bad mood. I'm just going to say that right off the top, and I apologize. I'm a huge Beatles fan, Beatle maniac. So whenever there's any new Beatle content, I'm all over it. Every new Ringo record, every new remastered version of a Beatles song. Now, Sir Paul McCartney's got a new album, Egypt Station, which gets released here September 7th, a couple of days. And he put out a single from the album a couple of weeks ago, double A-side, songs I Don't Know and Come On to Me. And the other day, he releases another song. And it's titled, and I'm going to be very careful when I say this, it's a song called F-U. F-U-H-Y-O-U. Paul McCartney, the musical genius. Man who wrote Eleanor Rigby, Let It Be, Hey Jude, Yesterday, one of the most covered records of all time. F-U? Paul, I'm sorry. Sir Paul, you're royalty. You're a freaking knight. Act like a knight! Be brave, be pure, be chivalrous. You're not Eminem. Go back to the really classy musical genius stuff you're known for. Like, why don't we do it in the road? We're all very excited. We have a very special guest star tonight. But before we introduce him, let's introduce the Robbio Radio players. Mandy Lee Thompson. Woo-hoo. Steve Mecca.
Ew.
Whitney Johnson.
Yeah.
Andrew Smith. And the Renaissance lady herself, actor, singer, writer, dancer, and voiceover artist, playing the title role in the award-winning animated short, Dr. Mantis, insect analyst, Ms. Megan Samard. How are you guys doing tonight? Huh?
Hi, Rob.
Thank you, Mandy. Could you guys just, like, fake being more excited about the show?
It's... Hey, Rob, oh, Megan, I'm so excited
okay.
to be here.
All right, great. Thanks. I'm personally very excited to welcome our special guest star. I'm sure you all know he plays Detective Anthony Abidemaco on CBS's Blue Bloods. He's the best-selling author of six books. He's done The Tonight Show over 40 times, guest starred in countless movies and TV shows, including his first, a non-credited role in Casino. He also has his own brand of organic vegan pasta sauces. It's so good, it'll make you want to smack your old Italian grandmother right in the mush.
Hold on a second, Rob.
Please welcome our friend, Mr. Steve Shariba.
Thank you, but we don't want to promote violence here, not on your poor Italian grandmother.
Well, you know, what can I say? I mean, the sauce is that good.
It is good.
Yeah, I can't believe your resume, man. You've done everything.
Well, you know, I got to be honest. I have done a lot, but why'd you leave out The Sopranos, man? That's like what I'm known for the most, I think.
First of all, everybody knows that about you. I mean, playing Bobby Bacala, Tony's brother-in-law,
Six seasons.
I thought you were kind of tired of being known for just that.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I've done a lot of things in my career. You know, I'm now on Blue Bloods. I play a detective.
Right, right.
Which I'm very happy about. I was on another show, Secret Life of the American Teenager, for 5 years.
6 years.
I did that right after The Sopranos. You know, I've done a whole bunch of stuff, I mean, which is fun. And that was all because of The Sopranos, you know.
There's a steady gig now on Blue Bloods.
Yeah, I came on. This is my fourth season. Yeah, so they signed me to all the episodes. It's a really good show.
Well, let me ask you something now that you're here. You know, speaking of Blue Bloods, what's Edie Falco like?
She's not on Blue Bloods, but she's a great actress and a good friend of
well,
mine.
Well, yeah, no, yeah, I know. I just
I thought we were talking about Blue Bloods. No, yeah, going back to The Sopranos.
You know, I just I would like to have her on as a guest. You know, so
all right,
you wouldn't have any contact number for it, would you? Like,
well, I don't feel comfortable giving you her number.
All right, yeah, yeah, of course.
To call, give you her publicist agent?
No, it's fine. I want to talk about some of the other things in your career, other than Sopranos stuff.
All right, it's great. Sopranos ended, just so everyone knows, in 2007. It's 11 years ago.
Is it really that long?
11 years.
Wow. That was, you know, I have to say, I only cried once during the entire season, and it was when you got whacked in the train store.
Really?
Really.
Is that true?
Because
when I was eating a dish of pasta, that made you cry. You wish it was you.
Twice. All right, twice. I cried twice. What's Tony Sirico like? Is he like Paulie Walnuts in real life?
There is no difference between Tony Sirico and Paulie Walnuts. I'll tell you a quick story. They were trying to figure out on the show one time what Paulie Walnuts' apartment would look like, because they were going to film the apartment.
Uh-huh.
And they were racking their brains. What would this guy's apartment look like? Then somebody said, what do you mean? The guy is the guy. Let's go to his apartment. And they went to his apartment on Shore Road, and they duplicated it, and that's what you see on The Sopranos.
Well, you've been very gracious to come on the show. We're going to do some sketches with you, if that's okay.
Is that what we're going to do? Sketches?
Yeah. Yeah. Right, and we got a couple ideas.
All right. What do you got?
All right. We got this. It's a parody of a kid's show. It's in a magical toy shop. All the toys come to life at night. You play the guy who leans on the toy shop owner to get him to pay protection money.
I thought when you called me, man, you said that we weren't going to do any of this
stereotypical
crap.
Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry.
Don't you remember the phone
call? Yes, I remember. I apologize. All right, how about this one? A sketch about a family of wild turkeys.
Okay.
They live in the forest, but they have human personalities. They're planning Thanksgiving dinner. You play Tommy the Drumstick, and you go out and you beat hunters to death with a smoked turkey leg.
I'm a little confused. You said we weren't going to do any of this Goomba crap.
Oh, by the way, it's
more the stereo. I play a cop now, man. I'm not playing a mob guy.
But it's turkeys.
Yeah, but one of them's got a contract out on the hunter, man.
Okay.
Tommy the Drumstick.
Okay, how about this one? Whack That Stoolie, a game show.
All right, man. I got to go.
No, wait. I got something for you. It's a good part. It's a Western. It's about those courageous, stalwart figures of this nation's history, who migrated westward against all matter of adversity to develop and settle the wild, unknown, dark, and bloody territory of the American frontier. This is called Horrifyingly Grim Tales of the Prairie with Old Cowpie Sam Whitaker. The ink wasn't even dry after President Lincoln signed the Great Homestead Act of 1862, and thousands of poor tenant farmers and sharecroppers from Missouri gathered their families and set out in wagon trains into the still as yet unclaimed territory of the Pacific Northwest. One such group of settlers was led by Dr. Elijah Rumsey, a Presbyterian minister who served as the guide.
This is me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. My brothers and sisters, the good Lord hath spoken to me and told me to lead ye west toward salvation. May God bless our journey, watch over us, and show mercy on us all as we make our exodus into the unknown.
Is the Reverend going to be our guide?
I reckon so.
Does he know where we're going?
I reckon so.
Has he had any experience with the region?
I reckon so.
Truth be told, the good Dr. Ramsey hadn't been any further than a mile from his birthplace of Potosi, Missouri. But off they went, some 1,500 valiant pioneers into the wilderness in search of a better life.
Destiny Ho.
Destiny? Is that the name of the town where we're going?
I reckon so.
3 days into the journey, the hardy pilgrims discovered to their horror they'd left most of their supplies in Missouri.
I thought you packed the wagon.
I thought you packed the wagons.
So we only have the provisions we bought on our own wagons?
I reckon.
What the hell are we doing with the piano on the wagon?
For them fireside sing-alongs under the stars.
Well, couldn't somebody just bring a harmonica?
It wouldn't be long before the pioneers had run out of food and water, so Reverend Rumsey organized a hunting expedition. Didn't go as well as Dr. Rumsey had envisioned.
Dear Lord, we bow our heads to honor the souls of the brave men who were taken from us while they selflessly went out into the wilderness to hunt food for their brothers and sisters.
Wait a minute. They're all dead?
I reckon that's what the Reverend is saying.
Members of the group who weren't trampled to death by a buffalo got shot and killed by some of the other members. Friendly fire.
My brothers and sisters, be not afraid. Be not daunted. Yeah, though we have suffered great loss, we must carry on and not lose sight of our ambition. We must continue our journey.
Soon the wagon train came upon the Laramie Mountains. The settlers had to pull their wagons up the mountainside with ropes and pulleys, while the children lay rocks behind the wheels so they would not roll backwards. A good number of the pilgrims were lost in the attempt.
You know, now's the time when you might consider rethinking this whole piano thing.
But they refused to give up and eventually surmounted nature's challenge and arrived on the other side of the territory of the Cheyenne, one of the most vicious tribes of the plain. Half of the remaining pioneers were slaughtered. The wagon train made camp long enough to bury the dead.
Well, at least there's less of us who have to deal with the lack of food.
Fewer.
What?
Fewer of us.
No, fewer is only to be used when discussing countable things, while less is used for singular mass nouns.
Oh.
Now help me with this piano.
Day after day, the pilgrims continued west, suffering casualties from overturned wagons, lightning strikes, malaria, scurvy, and cholera. Many of the settlers were crushed by boulders while taking a shortcut through a valley that Dr. Rumsey had brought them to.
To tell you the truth, I'm starting to lose a little faith in the Reverend.
Then winter set in.
You know, I'm seriously thinking about turning around.
Tune in next week when we join the Rumsey Expedition as they attempt to cross the mighty North Platte River.
Those of you who cannot swim, which I believe is most of you, hang on tight and the Lord will deliver us.
Jesus, this guy is really starting to get on my nerves.
Well, that was great, man. You were great, man. See, that wasn't a Goomba. That was
fantastic.
I believed you as a preacher.
As a liar?
I did. If you want to hear the show again or share it with your friends, you can download it immediately after it's over tonight from ogpodcastnetwork.com and iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe. You'll automatically have it waiting for you every week. I want you to know I'm going to be back on the road doing stand-up after a long hiatus.
Hey, it's about time, man.
Catch a Rising Star in Fork River, New Jersey, Saturday night, September 29th. Go to catchrisingstar.com for tickets. Then on October 27th, my triumphant return to the Seven Angels Theater in Waterbury, Connecticut. And although it might be a little early, I could be coaxed into doing Salmonella's Night Before Christmas in Brooklyn. I don't know. I'm not promising.
Ooh.
But I might
there
be.
There you go.
Go to sevenangelstheater.org for tickets.
I like it.
We'll be back with more of Steve Scirepa after this.
Yes, sir.
You're listening to the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour right here on 77 WABC. Welcome back to the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour. I am Rob Bartlett, and this is my comedy hour, my radio comedy hour. We're here every Saturday night at 10 p.m. right here on 77 WABC. And we have tonight our very special guest, Mr. Steve Scirepa.
Happy to be here. It's a very catchy tune. I like
theme song.
I like it.
You like that, right?
Doesn't have much words to it, but I like it.
We have to keep it simple.
Yes.
Gary and Steve wrote that.
Gary, very good.
Gary and Steve. Yeah. Well, Gary, really, Steve.
I like it.
Steve sang it.
All right, Steve.
Did all the voices.
I like the voice. Very good.
Played all the instruments. I, by the way, just supplied my name. That's the only thing I have nothing to do with the rest of it.
It's very good.
Thank you. You're going to do a couple more sketches with us.
Yes, happy to be here.
Steve's just one of the first of some of the great guests we're going to be having lined up, future episodes. My friend Daryl Hammett will join us.
Yeah, Daryl.
As good will our old friend, the great Warner Wolf.
Warner Wolf.
Guns Gunselman will be back.
What about Hiram Keston? Can you get a big act like that on your show? Or is he too out of reach?
You know, he's going to listen to this and he's going to go, I can't believe the accidents of my day. So, subscribe. Subscribe to us. We're on OG Podcast Network, iTunes. Tell your friends, because right after this show is over tonight, you'll be able to hear us. Now, Steve, what I wanted to...
Oh, my stars and garters! Steve Sharippa?
Oh, hi. Oh, hi, how are you?
Steve, this is Linda from the network. She's assigned to our show. She's here to make sure that we adhere to the standards and practices. And
I heard we had a special guest, but I didn't know it was him. I am your biggest fan.
Oh, well, thank you.
I've seen everything you've ever been in.
Wow, that's very flattering. It's very nice.
I can't believe it. Luca Brasi, right here in the studio.
Yeah, that wasn't me. I wasn't in The Godfather.
Oh, right. What was I thinking? Sorry, I'm just starstruck.
It's okay. No problem at all.
But I am a huge fan of your work. You're amazing.
Thank you. You know, just very happy, very, you know, very grateful for my career.
Bertram and I love to spend weekends all cocooned up, binging your movies and TV appearances.
Bertram, that's your husband.
Oh, no.
Yeah, your boyfriend?
No, Pygmy Goat. He's my emotional support animal.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yes.
Rob, what's happening here?
Yes, yes. You know, his favorite is Casino.
Well, you know, actually, that was my very first role. I was uncredited.
Oh, really? Your first? I thought that was Godfather 2.
No. I'm too young.
Oh, was Taxi Driver before that?
No. That was a Robert De Niro.
Oh, I meant Goodfellas, when you stab Billy Batts in the neck with a pen.
I wasn't in Goodfellas. That was...
Oh, right. Lethal Weapon. I do an impression of you. Okay.
That was Joe Pesci.
Dog Day Afternoon, that's it. Attica.
That was Al Pacino.
Oh.
I'm very flattered you're confusing me with such great Italian-American actors, but that wasn't me.
Oh. But you are on TV now, right?
Yes.
Blue Bloods.
Yep, that's it. See, now you got it. That's me.
I loved you as Magnum P.I. Those shorts? Oh, my God.
No, that... No, you know. Well, thank you very much.
Can I take a selfie?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay.
Do you want me in the picture with you? You just took a photo of yourself.
Duh. Why do you think you called a selfie? Okay, bye, Rob!
Linda from the network, everybody!
Bye. Goodbye, Mr. Keitel!
Wow. That was interesting, but Harvey Keitel's a Jewish guy.
Is he really?
Yes, he is.
I never knew that.
There you go. So is James Caan.
I knew that.
Oh, okay.
I knew that.
Very strange, Linda. Very strange. I'm sure she's a great network executive.
She's great. She marches to a different drummer.
Yes, she
let's
does.
Just say she's and a different bass player and a different lead guitarist. Now, one of our sponsors, Bud Spurlow, the proprietor of Bud Spurlow's Autorama and Bud Spurlow's Catheter Barn, now has a new venture, Bud Spurlow's Yoga Barn. Hi, do you ever find yourself feeling like this?
I'm a single mom, and between the kids and my job, I'm exhausted.
As a public relations executive, every day is a challenge. Demanding clients, unresponsive journalists, the stress is overwhelming. I used to be a gymnast, but my fibromyalgia has severely compromised my field of motion.
I'm fatigued all the time, and the searing back pain from my back injury makes it virtually impossible for me to sleep.
If life has got you going 24/7, burning the candle at both ends, and you find yourself weary, worn down, and out of steam, or the ravages of age and disease have you feeling less than your old self, you can fight the devastating effects of stress on your mind, body, and spirit with a trip to Bud Spurlow's Yoga Barn, your one-stop shop for all your yoga needs. I got Vinyasa, Kundalini, Hatha Yoga, whatever type and style you practice, I got it at Bud Spurlow's Yoga Barn. Look at this satisfied yogi.
After just 3 sessions at Bud Spurlow's Yoga Barn, I felt so relaxed and rested. I'm now able to spend extra time with my children, even read them a bedtime story. And I still have enough energy to weed my backyard garden in the dark.
At Bud Spurlow's Yoga Barn, you can choose from the most comprehensive list of styles available. I got them all, and all taught by certified yoga masters who will help get your chi on straight.
Ever since I started taking classes at Bud Spurlow's Yoga Barn, I've found an inner peace that leaves me so calm and stress-free, I don't even have to drink anymore.
At Bud Spurlow's Yoga Barn, you can do all your favorite yoga poses. Dolphin, fire log, feathered peacock, happy puppy, half moon, half frog, four-limb staff pose. Even if you want to get into the standing high lunge crescent variation, you can do it at Bud Spurlow's Yoga Barn.
After just one session at Bud Spurlow's Yoga Barn, I can do a handspring into a cartwheel with a backwards half-turn round off.
Now, I know you're saying, Bud, what kind of yoga do you offer?
Bud, what kind of yoga do you offer?
What, are you hard of hearing, brother? I already done told you. I got Iyengar, Ashtanga, Raja, Bikram. I even got the hot box yoga. Come on down and sweat like Ricky Martin watching Brokeback Mountain in the largest artificially heated studio in the tri-state area.
At Bud Spurlow's Yoga Barn, I was able to stretch my back enough so that my pain is virtually non-existent. I'm sleeping better, not completely soundly because I suffer from sleep apnea, but maybe Bud Spurlow will open up a CPAP barn.
Bud Spurlow's got all the latest trends in the yoga industry. You heard about that goat yoga where little baby nannies run around and climb all over you, increasing your relaxation and lightening your mood? Well, at Bud Spurlow's Go-Go... Well, at Bud Spurlow's Yoga Barn, we got something even better. Introducing Llama Yoga. That's right. Come on down and do your poses with real, live, domesticated llamas. Now, I know you're saying, Bud, why llamas?
Bud, why llamas?
Two reasons. One, they pee a lot less than baby goats. And B, they're much more suited to yoga. How do I know? Well, hell, the Dalai Lama is named after him. And that nobody knows more about yoga than the Dalai Lama.
Those llamas are adorable. They spit a lot, but...
And we're running a special at Bud Spurlow's Yoga Barn. Take five llama yoga classes and get a sweater made of real llama wool. And you can shear it yourself.
I'm relaxed. And warm and toasty.
That's Bud Spurlow's Yoga Barn, 329 Baylor Boulevard, just a half mile before the off-ramp of the Midas Peak Expressway, directly across from Sneaky Pete's Muffler World and Malcolm Prater's Thermos Universe. And remember, if you didn't take your yoga class from Bud Spurlow's Yoga Barn, you probably took it somewhere else. Namaste, Bud Spurlow's Yoga Barn, formerly Bud Spurlow's Catheter Barn. You know, yeah. I do yoga every day.
Oh?
Yeah, I assume the Shavasana pose.
What? The Shavasana pose?
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah, isn't that the one where you just, like, lay down on your back?
Yes. Yes, it is. I want to remind you, I'll be at Catch a Rising Star in Fork River, New Jersey, Saturday night, September 29th. Go to catcharisingstar.com for tickets. On October 27th, I'll be at Seven Angels Theater in Waterbury, Connecticut. Go to sevenangelstheater.org for tickets. Don't go away. We'll be right back with the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour. More with Mr. Steve Sciarippa on 77 WABC. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour. I am Rob Bartlett, and this is my Radio Comedy Hour. This week, we're thrilled to have as our special guest star, Mr. Steve Sciarippa.
Yeah!
And, somebody's at the door. I wonder who that could be.
Yeah, I wonder.
Hello, everyone.
Oh, what a surprise. It's Ron Howard.
Yeah, I just wanted to stop by and say hi.
Hi, Megan Samard, actress.
Ron Howard, director of such films as Splash.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I was in my limo on the way here to the after party.
Oh, for what?
The premiere of my latest film, Miracle Worker, the musical, with Sandy Bullock as Ann Sullivan and Miley Cyrus as Helen Keller.
Miracle Worker, the musical? Really? Isn't Helen Keller deaf and dumb?
Not in this movie, she's not. Anyway, I just wanted to thank you, Rob, for plugging my Ron Howard masterclass.
It's my pleasure, Mr. Howard.
I've quadrupled subscriptions since then. Yeah, I'm up to six. Wait a second. Hold that pose.
Me?
No, you.
Me?
No, you.
Me?
Yes. You'd be perfect for my next movie, Rockette.
Like the Radio City Dancers?
No, I'm remaking Rocky, and he's a woman now. I have Gary Busey playing Adrian.
Oh, have you cast Mickey yet? I do a great Burgess Meredith. Rock, you eat lightning and crap thunder!
You got the part.
Yo, Adrian!
I smell an Oscar.
I smell something else. Maybe it's me.
Well, keep plugging the masterclass. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure, Mr. Howard.
I found my thrill.
Yeah!
On Blueberry.
Now, on our very first show, we introduced a recurring segment, a reality murder series bit that has actually become one of the more popular sketches we've done so far, and it's called
Death Can Kill.
Previously on Death Can Kill, Dr. Rodney Kolodny, the painless dentist of Lodi, New Jersey, has been accused of murdering his wife with a noose of dental floss around her neck and her mouth stuffed with gauze. Despite his cries of innocence, Dr. Kolodny is arrested and held without bail, while Detective Sergeant Edie Beckson of the Lodi Police Force has a hunch that the Perky Turkey, a little bistro in town where Mary, Wanda's sister, took their mother for a Mother's Day brunch, holds the key to solving the crime. She has evidence to suggest that Perky Turkey pancakes may indeed have had something to do with Wanda's murder.
I had evidence to suggest that Perky Turkey pancakes may indeed have had something to do with Wanda's murder. I sent the gauze from Wanda's mouth to the lab to be analyzed. It came back as I suspected. Maple syrup. I decided to bring Wanda's and Mary's mother, Agnes, in for questioning.
Detective Beckson decided to bring in Wanda's and Mary's mother, Agnes, for questioning.
I was a little suspicious when Mary told me Wanda wanted to go to the Perky Turkey. She hated the Perky Turkey. She didn't like the pancakes, which is ridiculous. They're delicious. They do them with strawberries and whipped cream on top.
Did you have the pancakes, Agnes?
No. I wanted to, but Mary convinced me to get the omelet, which was so dry. I should have had the pancakes.
Why do you think she didn't want you to have the pancakes?
I don't know. She's always telling me what to do. I don't know why I listen to her.
There was something about those pancakes that Detective Beckson thought might provide a crack in the case.
I sent Agnes home and brought Wanda's sister Mary into the interrogation room. Tell me about brunch.
It was awful. Mom complained the whole time. She kept going back and forth. Should I have the pancakes? Should I not have the pancakes? Should I have the omelet instead? Which is the reason why we went to the Perky Turkey in the first place. The stupid pancakes. Which Wanda was doing just for Mom, because she hated the Perky Turkey.
Can you say that again?
Sure. That again?
No, I meant the part about how Wanda hated the Perky Turkey.
Oh, Wanda hated the Perky Turkey.
Wasn't your sister the restaurant reviewer for the Lodi Observer?
Yes.
Did she review the Perky Turkey?
Yes. It was scathing. She tore the place apart. Said you'd be better off eating a toilet seat than the pancakes.
But your mom didn't have them that day at brunch.
No, she had the omelet and then complained so much she made me call for the owner. But he wasn't there. I assumed he was visiting his mother. It was Mother's Day after all.
Did you have the pancakes, Mary?
Yes. They were delicious.
Do you like maple syrup, Mary?
Yes.
How much maple syrup did you put on the pancakes?
You don't put maple syrup on the pancakes at the Perky Turkey. They already have strawberries and whipped cream on top.
Detective Beckson finally had the crack in the case she'd been looking for the past 6 months.
I finally had the crack in the case I'd been looking for the past 6 months. I told Mary, I don't know how to tell you this, but I think I may have solved your sister's murder.
Okay. Why don't you try it underplayed, you know, like method? Stella Adler, but I don't want to give you a line reading.
Mary didn't want to give Detective Bexson a line reading, but she did want to check out the owner of the Perky Turkey, one Neil Faulkner. She brought Mr. Faulkner in for questioning.
I wanted to check out the owner of the Perky Turkey, one Neil Faulkner. I brought Mr. Faulkner in for questioning.
What is this about, Detective?
Why weren't you at the Perky Turkey the afternoon of Wanda Kolodny's murder? Mother's Day, a big day in the restaurant business, especially for brunch.
Well, I was visiting my mother.
Visiting your mother? But weren't you orphaned? 3 times?
What?
You weren't at the Perky Turkey that day because you were at the Kolodny's murdering Wanda! Because she wrote a bad review of your restaurant!
That's preposterous. Me? A murderer?
Better off eating a toilet seat than the pancakes. Couldn't be that good for business, could it?
Say
you murdered Wanda Kolodny!
You murdered Wanda Kolodny!
I didn't! You did!
Yes! Yes, I admit it! It wasn't just a bad review. It was spiteful. She was gratuitously mean. I'd rather eat a dog turd than the cassoulet at the Perky Turkey. I mean, come on!
And you made it look like Dr. Kolodny did it.
Yes.
But that wasn't just a red herring to throw off the investigation.
What do you mean?
You hated Dr. Kolodny, too.
Yes! I had some bridge work done, and it hurt like a bastard! He was supposed to be painless!
Detective Bexson arrested Neil Faulkner for the murder of Wanda Kolodny.
I arrested Neil Faulkner.
Okay, we get it. Come on, let's wrap this up already. After 6 months in jail awaiting trial, painless Dr. Rodney Kolodny was released. Detective Bexson received a citation of honor for solving the case, then retired from the force and bought the Perky Turkey. She invited Mary and her mother Agnes to her grand reopening brunch.
The pancakes were better before. There's hardly any strawberries on top.
Wow. Well, I did not see that coming.
Oh, man. Wow.
That was really something.
Yeah.
That came out of nowhere.
Sure did.
That was like Deus Ex Machina.
Yeah.
And speaking of Deus Ex Machina, I'll be a Catch a Rising Star in Forked River, New Jersey, Saturday night to September 29th. And then on October 27th, I'll be at Seven Angels Theater in Waterbury, Connecticut.
Wow, you really are the king of the Segway.
Yes, I am, Whitney. Yes, I am. Go to our official Facebook page, facebook.com/RobbieO Radio, for ticket info. And don't forget, you can download every show right after it airs. It'll magically appear on the OG Network website and iTunes and Google Play and Stitcher. And if you subscribe, you won't have to worry. It'll always be waiting there for you, so you can listen on your way into work on Tuesday mornings during your commute. Morning becomes eclectic. Make the people on the train think you're crazy because you're laughing with your earbuds in. Donkey. I was going to say, don't go away. We'll be back after this. But it came out Donkey. We'll be back with more of the Rob Barlow Radio Comedy Hour right here on 77 WABC.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the Rob Barlow Radio Comedy Hour. I am Rob Bartlett, and this is my Radio Comedy Hour. It's an hour, just like it says in the theme song. It's an hour. It's an hour. Just in case you were worried you're going to have to, like, devote more than the amount of time that you had planned on. It's an hour.
Yeah.
Our special guest tonight, Mr. Steve Sciarippa.
Yeah. Woo-hoo.
He'll be back and do some more stuff with us a little later on the show. During the break, he and I were talking about acting. I spent years studying technique. Meisner, Stanislavski, Blake. That's the Robert Blake method. That's where you do every line like Robert Blake when he used to play Mickey in The Little Rascals. Oh, so you're a wise guy, eh? So when you do Shakespeare using the Blake method, it'd be like, is this a dagger I see before me? One of the classes was in mime. I don't know if you guys know that. I was lucky enough to study under Jean-Claude Bruno Le Maire. He originated a very unique form of mime that caused quite a controversy in the pantomime community. It's where the mime actually speaks. And I'm honored to say that he is here with us tonight. Oh. If you would, please welcome the master, Monsieur Jean-Claude Bruno Lemaire.
Yeah. Oh.
Thank you so much. Thank you. It is indeed a pleasure and an honor to be here. I suppose I shall begin by explaining my technique of talking mime. The word is derived from the prefix panto and the suffix mime. Mime, which means without speech, and panto, which means without trousers. So the word pantomime essentially means a bunch of people on stage with no pants on, not talking. I studied with Marcel Marceau, but we had falling out. It's a terrible argument in which, by the way, I was the only one yelling. I maintain that the concept of silence is very artistically constricting. So I opened it up, allowing the mime to speak, and it now makes it a more inclusive art form, as blind people may now enjoy. If I may, we'd like now to perform my first talking mime about a man trapped in a box. It's called Un coin, c'est dans une boîte, or in English, Men Trapped in a Box.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Okay, so he's standing. Yeah. He's
with his hand.
He's lifting up right hand and left hand. And then he's...
Mon Dieu, I am trapped in a box.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Merci. Merci beaucoup. Thank you so much. My next talking mime is entitled Homme marchant dans le vent, or in English, Men Walking in the Wind.
Oh, wow. So he's leaning forward, and it's like
walking.
He's walking in place, but it's like he's struggling.
Mon Dieu, what an heavy breeze.
Oh, yes.
Thank you. Thank you so much. This is my final talking mime for this evening. It's what we call it. Work in progress, which in the pantomime world means I cannot think of an ending. It features my everyman character, Bobo. Bobo is just like you. He's just like me. There is a little bit of Bobo in all of us. Well, not literally. He would be so tired. In this mime, it features Bobo. He's on a fishing trip. Fishing not for fish, but for the meaning of his life, which is a metaphor for the existential crisis of man. It is called The Eternal Struggle to Find Purpose in the Nihilism of an Unforgiving Universe, Beset with Adversity and Pain, Alone and Without Love. Or in French, Les Conneries.
He's casting a line like he's fishing, and he's trying to reel something in.
Mon Dieu! There are no fish! Only death!
Oh my gosh, that's... touched me on so many levels.
Well, thank you, Master Lemaire.
Wow, a mime on the radio. What do you got next? A radio magician?
Just waiting the next episode.
Thank you very much, man. It's been fun, but I got to go.
No. Andrew and I got a script we read just for you.
Yeah, that's not going to be that whack the stoolie thing, is it?
No. But it is a game show parody. It's completely different. It's called Flatbush Jeopardy. That takes place in Brooklyn.
Okay.
All right. Here we go. Yeah, welcome back to Flatbush Jeopardy. I'm Sal Manella. Thanks a lot. Shut up. In the lead from Bensonhurst, Vinny Cheese has won 8 large so far in our first round. Let's see if you can keep the winning streak going. How you feeling, Vinny?
I'm good, Sally boy. I'm good. I feel good.
And what do you do for a living?
You know, a little of this, a little of that. Mostly carting, demolition, some dumpster rentals. Why? You need something?
No. Thanks a lot. Shut up. Up against him, well, not up against him because that'd be sexual harassment, but challenging him in second place with 5.5 large, we got from Red Hook, Angela Capabianco, a hairdresser at Mr. Tony's in Bay Ridge. Hey, you married, Angela, or what?
Not yet, Sal. Still looking.
We'll talk after the show. And in third place, with Ugats from Park Slope, Aura Eversman says here, you're a photographer.
I'm currently looking for a gallery in Soho for my collection of images of homeless people's shoes.
You make a living at that?
Well, no. I'm also a part-time cashier at Urban Outfitters.
All right. Round two is double Brooklyn Jeopardy. Each answer worth twice the amount of cash. Here are the categories. Not for nothing. Use guys.
$5 to donuts. Forget about it. She thinks who she is. And Arcade Fire. Vinny, you're in the lead. You go first.
I'll take not for nothing for $200, sir.
The answer is what your brother says when he tells you that pinky ring that guy sold you was a weasel deal. Vinny.
Well, it's not for nothing, but that diamond is a fugazi.
Like you didn't know that when you only paid $20 for it, right? Nice, Vinny. Go ahead.
I'll take not for nothing for $400, Sally boy.
The answer is what your friend says before a game of stoop ball.
What is not for nothing, but chips if I roof your Spalding.
Like it's a big deal, right? They cost a quarter. You're on a roll, Vinny.
She thinks who she is for $200.
The answer is, you tell me with that hair, those platforms, and what she spends at the nail salon. Angela.
What is she thinks who she is when she's just a coogenette?
You control a board, Angela.
Give me used guys for $200, Sal.
The answer is, what you tell your friends when you pick them up and you sketch a bang to go dancing at Pastels. Vinny.
What is you guys better pony up for gas? I ain't no limo driver.
Yeah, and they still got that communion money, right?
Alligator arms, Sal.
Hey, Aura, you still playing this game or what?
I'm having a hard time following.
All right, all right. You know what? I'm going to give you a shot. Pick a category.
Use guys for $400.
All right. The answer is what you should say before your friend boosts a couple steaks from the A&P.
I don't know. I don't eat meat.
Whoa. First of all, you got to phrase the answer in a form of a question.
What is, I don't know. I don't eat meat.
Vinny.
What is, you guys keep chicky for the butcher so we don't get caught.
You're on fire, Vinny.
You know, I feel bad. I want to give Aura another shot to catch up.
Oh. Dollars to donuts for $800.
The answer is what you say to your friend when your other friend's girlfriend's got size 14 shoes and an Adam's apple. Angela?
What is, them shoes don't go with that bag.
Wrong. Sorry. Vinny.
What is, I bet you dollars to donuts that chick is a guy.
All right, keep it going, Vinny.
Give me Arcade Fire for $600.
Ah, new category. This is things pertaining to the Canadian indie art rock band Arcade Fire. The answer is, oh, it's a daily double. How much are you going to wager, Vinny?
Oh, man. Hey, I'm going to put $3 on it, Sal.
All right. The answer is, he joined the band after an onstage argument between his brother and Brendan Reed. Aura.
Who is Wynn Butler?
Nope. Vinny.
Who is William Butler?
Way to go, Vinny! Hey, oh, that's the end of the round, Vinny. You are way the hell out front. We'll be back with final Brooklyn Jeopardy, where the category is famous gavons. Don't even think of changing that dial. I'll break your freaking fingers. Oh, wow. That was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun. I think that about does it for this week. That's what the music says. Thanks to everybody for checking us out. Don't forget to tell your friends we're right here every Saturday night at 10 p.m. on 77 WABC. If you missed any part of the show or you want to download past episodes, listen to Your Way on Work tomorrow, go to OGPodcastNetwork.com or iTunes or Google Play. Subscribe so you won't miss a single minute of the frivolity. Very special thanks to our guest, our Mr. Steve.
Thank you for having me, guys. Thank you. A lot of fun. Thank you, guys.
I'll be at Catch a Rising Star in Fork River, New Jersey, Saturday night, September 29th, October 27th, Seven Angels Theater in Waterbury, Connecticut. Go to our Facebook page, Robbio Radio, for ticket info. Our program, produced by Gary Grant and me, Rob Bartlett, written by Andrew Smith and me, Rob Bartlett, featuring Megan Simard, Andrew Smith, Mandy Lee Thompson, Steve Mecca, Whitney Johnson, and me, Rob Bartlett. Original music composed by Gary Grant, Steve Mecca, and no animals were harmed in the recording of this program. See you next week.